back to order.
They're all at the reform board. You guys are ready to go here? I'm ready.
I'm moving me adjourned.
All right, we're done. All right, thank you. Okay, the September 6th meeting of the Los Osos Community Service District will reconvene to open session. Can we have the Pledge of Allegiance, Mr. Wright, please?
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You're not bringing those chicken bones in.
No.
Okay, with that then, we'll reconvene to open session. Do we have any report out of closed session, Mr. Seitz, please?
Yes. The board did go out of closed session. The 6 month item regards to two categories of items. One is pending litigation. In that meeting, they discussed in Ray, Russell Social Community Services District, known as a bankruptcy case, LLCSV versus Villain State, which is also known as ISJ, Four Family Properties versus Los Osos Community Services District, and Dubink versus San Luis Obispo County et al. In each of those items, they heard a report from the legal counsel that took no reportable action.
Thank you.
They did not discuss item B, and that will be after the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Yeah, I just want to clarify, we'll be going back in the closed session after our open session. With that, then, we have a presentation. Is Chief Fanaris here? For everybody's benefit, this presentation was something that the Emergency Services Advisory Committee has spoken about, and we thought that it was an appropriate thing to come before the full board for showing on TV so everybody could get the benefit of firsthand knowledge of what the carbon monoxide issues are, and especially with the new detectors that were required as of last year. So with that, I'll turn it over to Chief Fanaris.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, and members of the public, burn such as wood, gas, oil, charcoal, basically fossil fuels. Problems typically occur in residences from improperly operating appliances or vehicles that are turned on and with exhaust venting into the house. Additionally, it can occur when there's improper or no venting of any of these products of combustion, such as a clogged chimney or a flue over a gas stove or on your heater. What are some of the symptoms of carbon monoxide poisoning? At low levels, you can experience shortness of breath, mild nausea, or mild headaches. At moderate levels, severe headaches, dizziness, mental confusion, and the nausea continues, additionally with fainting. At the high levels, unconsciousness and then death. So it is pretty important that you recognize this. Some of those, obviously, symptoms can be severe. So how do we prevent carbon monoxide poisoning in the house? CAL FIRE and emergency services here in San Luis County suggest that you inspect your heating and cooking appliances regularly. Use a trained professional. Symptoms or signs that you should have someone take a peek at it. It would be a gas stove, an oven that is burning with a yellow flame, visible smoke out of any of those, smelling smoke if you're burning your wood-burning stove, and any issues you might be having with your heating, your home heating system. We suggest that chimneys be inspected at the beginning of each winter or more often if you burn wood throughout the summertime. We obviously don't suggest that you idle a car in the garage, especially with it closed. Idle the car outside so that the products of combustion from the exhaust leave the structure. Never ever use any gas engine, charcoal, or barbecue in an enclosure, such as a house or a garage or a shed. And of course, don't use your gas stove to heat your home. There's a couple ways to prevent carbon monoxide poisoning. So the law itself requires that you have a smoke detector, a carbon monoxide detector in your house, but it only requires one. The emergency services and CAL FIRE and County FIRE suggest that more is always better. Therefore, we suggest that you have a carbon monoxide detector near the sleeping areas, at least one per floor, and that you install them per manufacturer's instructions. And this is important. Oftentimes, people remember doing a smoke detector, and the smoke detectors are up on the roof or up on the ceiling area because that's where the smoke rises, the hot air rises. Some carbon monoxide detectors are meant to be on the roof. Some are meant to be at the floor level. It's a pretty neutral gas, and so it depends on how they're designed because it doesn't necessarily. It's pretty neutral to air, so it doesn't float or doesn't sink. So you really need to look at your detector to see what it wants to, what the manufacturer's instructions are. And again, remember that. They don't replace smoke detectors unless you have a dual-purpose detector. So you can't put a carbon monoxide detector up and then remove your smoke detectors unless it's a dual-purpose, which I'll explain in a little bit. So where is it specifically that we're looking at? Again, 10 to 15 foot from bedrooms. You want them to be right around the bedroom area. Of course, in the bedroom may not be the best place. Hallways and over stairwells is something we always recommend. We recommend that you avoid humid areas such as bathrooms or laundry rooms. That steam tends to set them off. People hear it going once or twice, and then the batteries get pulled and never get reinstalled, and then your carbon monoxide detector will not be there to alarm you. Placing a detector in a utility room, such as a basement or your HVAC is, or your water heater, seems to make good common sense. But you want to place it just close enough that it's not going to get nuisance alarms. Maybe just outside that area, or far enough away that it's not going to be popping off all the time. So just to try and reinforce that, you want to avoid the basement area. In this case, I would probably have it, if this is your stairwell, I'd have it at the top of the stairwell away from the HVAC. I wouldn't put it in that bathroom right there. In the hallway outside that bedroom, or in this hallway here where it's close to the garage and the entryway from the garage to there, those are areas that are far enough away that will protect the family, yet not go off on a routine basis. So now that you've got your carbon monoxide detectors in your house, what happens if one alarms? Immediately move outside the house and get to fresh air. One of the things that carbon monoxide poisoning victims always say is, I was getting dizzy, I was trying to think of what I should do, and I knew something was wrong, but I didn't have the mental cognitive powers to actually leave the house because they were so disorientated from the effects of carbon monoxide. So, as soon as it goes off, or as soon as the first signs or symptoms occur and you think you have a carbon monoxide problem, leave the house. Do a good head count and make sure that everyone in the family is out with you, and call 911. Always call Station 15. We'd be happy to come out and give you a hand testing and installing them. So a lot of the questions we're getting is where do you get a carbon monoxide detector? Any hardware store should have them. I've got some ballpark prices here. There's a little bit of sticker shock with a carbon monoxide detector because, as you can see at the bottom, a smoke detector is between $6 and $40, depending on how fancy you want to get. A carbon monoxide detector is around $20. In my house, I went to a dual-purpose smoke detector and carbon monoxide detector. I have two of those in my single-family house. It's 1,600 square foot, so that was appropriate for us. And they're about $45. And it's going to vary by location, vary by the source you purchase it at, as well as the vendors. There's a couple other out there I wanted to point out. There's some plug-in detectors that will actually go into an outlet. Of course, if the If the electricity should fail, the detector will not work unless it has a 9-volt with them, and some of them don't. There's also some 3-gas monitors. They detect flammable gas, carbon monoxide, and smoke. They're a little bit more expensive. So there's a variety out there, and we recommend that you do a little research and talk to your the vendor before you make a purchase. Once you have it, again, if you would like assistance in installing it or where to install it, we'd be happy to give you a hand at Station 15. You can give us a call and assist you with that. If you have any questions or you would like that, the phone number for Station 15 is up on the board. It's 528-1053. Our website is up there as well, the CSD's website. And attached to that website, there is some additional information for carbon monoxide detectors, as well as this PowerPoint. If you go to the CSD's website and to the emergency services page, you can see this PowerPoint and some other information. Finally, there are some additional websites out there that I've picked just a couple of them that I found were probably the better websites. This is also on the PowerPoint, which is on the CSD's website. So if you don't have time to write this down now, if you're at home watching, you can either go to Channel 20 or to the CSD website and get these information, these websites. But I'll leave this up for a little bit. Is there any questions or comments that I can answer for you?
Yeah, Director Balt. Director Baltimore? Oh, no,
here we go.
Was I.
All right. Thank you very much. Information review sessions, they definitely helped me out, even though when the law first came out, I put mine in and went over the little packet myself. But it's my understanding also that the gas company, if you suspect you have a natural gas leak, they'll come out for free?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They're very proactive.
Any other questions? Philip, you have nothing else on the agenda, so why don't you give your report now, and then we can let you go. And then we'll go to public comment after you're done.
Thank you very much.
I do, that's all right.
I appreciate it. Allowing me to move up a little bit. This is, you have before you the July 2012 Chief's Report or Manager's Report. In the month of July, Station 15 responded to 118 calls. Only one of those was a simultaneous call, which is a little bit unusual for us. Usually we have a lot more than that. That one simultaneous call that we did have, though, required advanced life support. 74 of the 118 calls were for medical aid, and 35 of those required advanced life support. There was one traffic accident, and 6 incidents reported as fires. Company 15 was called back to assist the station and/or respond to emergencies in the month of July a total of 7 times. Some additional training that we did, Station 15 staff and myself worked with Morro Bay Fire Department and Cayucos Fire Department to provide a training drill for the Estero Bay Community Emergency Response Team. You may have noticed that they got some advertisement, or the CERTs got some advertisement this week in the local news, and that Templeton is working on a new class as well. So those CERT classes are given routinely throughout the county. They're certainly a good class, an important class to help you be self-sufficient, as I've said before, in the event of a smaller or large-scale disaster. At this particular training, we brought in a bunch of extinguishers, and County Fire provided a extinguisher prop, and everybody got a chance to extinguish multiple fires and use fire extinguishers and test their skills and improve their coordination. Additionally, the group talked about what to do in the event of a large-scale disaster as far as communication and response. If someone's interested in joining the Estero Bay CERT, there's a very active Las Osas contingent within that, and we can provide more information as well. In the month of July, for three days, fire apparatus engineer paramedic Reinhardt, who you've met before, traveled to South Dakota and talked to the Crimson or Spartan ERV factory. At that meeting, they reviewed the design specs, talked with design engineers and EVG to fine-tune the bid spec that this board has approved. In fact, in the other room, if someone is interested, I do have a copy of one of the early drafts of the design of the engine. I can tell you that the cab and the chassis have already been started on. They're being worked on and built up right now in Milwaukee. Once that is up and done, about that same time that it's up and ready to go, it'll be driven to South Dakota, and we'll have the final specs in a state where we can give them to the general manager for her signature to finalize the drawings, and they'll start building on the chassis. So we are still on schedule with that project. The hazard abatement inspections continued in July, and we narrowed that down to approximately 24 violators. The other really difficult thing for us to answer is, you know, where is my fire engine or where is your fire engine? So we try and set that for a range of within 90, you know, that 5-minute response time within 90% of the time. That allows me to be on one side of the district or the other and still make those long calls. So that is our goal, and I can go back to the level of service document, and I'll get that for you and send it to you.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? Anybody have public comment on Phil's report only? I guess you get to go home early, Phil.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Get ready for your next fire, I guess. So with that, then, we'll go ahead and go to general public comment for items not on the agenda. We have 3-minute limit here, so does anybody want to speak on general public comment, not items on the agenda? Items not on the agenda, I mean. And just for informational purposes, this will also be on Channel 20, the presentation, not only on the website, but it will be on Channel 20 also. Okay.
Imagine the drawings in the back of the room, so if any of the public would like to see them or the board would like to see them afterwards, and then we'll come get them in the morning. So they will be available for the public.
Okay, thank you. Okay, with that, then, we'll go to general public comment.
Good afternoon or evening. Martha Golden, Los Osos. This afternoon there was a meeting of the Regional Water Quality Control Board. The subject of interest to this community was the update on the wastewater project. First, I want to comment that there was not a single representative of the board, of this board, at that meeting, despite the fact that one of the integral parts of the wastewater project is the ISJ, of which this community is a member, and I assume we have a representative of the board, and we have had our attorney as an important part of that group. So I want to give the community and the board a brief update of what the report was about. First of all, the county presented the timeline, which was frankly nothing new, sort of their starting or have started or maybe have started the actual work on the project, and the presumed completion is going to be in 2015. And there are various dates in between for various parts of the project. The board had appointed a subcommittee to develop some questions that were of significance to the board to be presented to the county and to which the county was supposed to respond. The county received those questions a week ago today. There was no direct response from the county to any of the questions except one. And that one was the question about who is going to be responsible and pay for on-site changes, recommissioning of the septic tanks and whatever other on-site. The answer to that is something you have known, but I want to remind you. It is the homeowner. The questions that were not answered related to water conservation, seawater intrusion offset, recycled water to ag properties, septic system decommissioning conversions, questions regarding the dewatering plan, water quality, water quantity, how much are they taking out, where is it going to go, what's going to happen to it, timing, no timing, public health, and of the overriding question with respect particularly to dewatering, contingency plans for all of the non-existent dewatering plans in case the non-existent plans didn't work. The response to that was, there are none. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha. Next speaker. Anybody? If you guys could be ready to come up, I'd appreciate it. It could help us move along here.
Snap to it, in other words. All right, thank you. Good evening. My name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low-Income Housing. I also attended that meeting, and I want to tell you, I would put you on notice, do not be like Nero, who watched his city burn. Because the dewatering plan that they have is for something like 9 million gallons a day to be taken out of the upper aquifer trenches. That could be as much as the 10-year domestic supply of water for both purveyors, Golden State and the LOCSD. Since your funds come from water fees, wouldn't you want to be concerned about that and find out about it? And as Mrs. Golden needs all the support that she can get. And I'd also ask Mike how John is doing. I know he's been ill. I hope that he's getting better. Give us an update sometime. Thank you.
Thank you, Al. Thank you, Al. Leon?
All this talk about water or the lack of it reminds me that I once was a plumber. Not for the White House, I should add, but I worked as a journeyman plumber. And I watched, and with some amazement, the county's attitude towards water. I remember in this room, and it's got to be 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago, that a guy came around telling us about their great system for saving water. The outside was too complicated, so they were going to do something about the inside. And the things they were going to do about the inside was, among other things, to put little discs in your shower, which cut down the flow, and other things which could be defeated in a moment. And the best part about their plan was that the inspector of this water-saving action on your part was going to be a plumber. And sorry, but that's something which somebody who's really an inspector should be inspecting, not somebody who's being paid to do something for you. The other part of it that really is amazing is that nothing has been done about the outside, and nothing has been done about changing the building code so that you would be required to collect the water that you use when you shower. It's when you're building the house, it's a simple matter to do that. And that water can be used without too much trouble in your toilets, and save water would be used then twice, and also could be used with a little processing on the garden. I wish I could remember whether it was 3 years, 4 years, or longer than that, that somebody appeared in this hall at this microphone from the county and talk to us about how we were going to save water. Because once that water is gone, the solutions are not going to be easy, and they're going to be expensive as get out. And the folks who live down in our water district, that is Baywood and that area, talking about the water district that's owned by the CSD, are fortunate. They should live up and around where people live with Golden State. They have the straw in the same reservoir, and they're pulling out the same kind of water and selling it. The prices are different, considerably different, as between what the people in Baywood pay and what Golden State people pay.
Thank you, Leon. Anybody else? Julie?
Mm-hmm. Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I did attend the Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting today. Representatives from Golden State were there. Your board members were not there. Your general manager was there for a time. You got to dedicate somebody to be able to stay as long as it takes to be part of the conversation. The LOCAC chair was there. She chose to make no comment. Mr. Gibson reported that there had been remarkable progress on the wastewater project. Are you laughing? I'm laughing. Remarkable progress. The only reason the Tri-W site was graded first is, one, to enact the permit, activate the permit, because they were going to lose it by June 10th. So they activated the permit. And the reason it was first on the schedule is because they need it for dewatering. Dewatering probably took the majority of the discussion and the unknowns around it. We had a meeting at June 19th. I think dewatering was mentioned here at the CSD meeting in June, the early meeting. And Marshall suggested that the citizens take their questions to that June 19th meeting that the county held at the Los Osos Middle School. 500 or so of us were there. Some of these dewatering questions were raised. When the regional board raised affected by that project, if you have any question what kind of impacts will be affecting Los Osos and 500 miles of our coast, go to this week's New Times. There are four separate articles and or opinion pieces that you can learn more. There are places to go on the internet that you can learn more, and I hope you do. And I hope your board takes the subject up at its October meeting and makes comments for the Coastal Commission for their October meeting. Thank you.
Lindy.
Good evening, Lindy from Los Osos. I too spent 5 hours at the regional board waiting for a chance to get through all the amazing information that was presented by the county. Basically, Mr. Gibson said that the project has started. He also said that the wastewater project also is responsible for the drainage LID drainage collections that are being put around the town. Unfortunately, that is not correct because that came out of the road fund, and that is totally separate from the sewer, but they chose to take credit for everything they could, while basically saying that the dewatering into the bay is maybe what will have to happen, and that it wasn't their job to make a decision about where that water went. They gave the people that put in bids for the job the option to figure out what they wanted to do and some ideas. But, I mean, here's a project that, I'm sorry, if they think that they can take 7 to 9 million gallons every day for 2 years solid, this is 24/7 pumping, because they have to get the water down below the water table in order 2 feet below where they're going to put the pipe in. So dewatering is huge. It will empty our basin. I know that the reason for all of this lack of interest in recycling our water and preserving any of it is because there is a plan to hook us up to Nacimiento, which I just think people should understand. One, it's polluted mercury water. It's not a dependable or reliable source because there are times when it's a dried up little puddle out, you know, up north. And thirdly, it has to be treated before we could even touch it for drinking. So there's a number of different expenses that go along with that wonderful idea. I wanted to talk about Bo Cooper. It's very sad news of his passing, and he tried very hard to fight his battle with leukemia and had some complications, and I'm very sad that we lost him. I think he did a lot for the mental health world in his career, and he was a champion for good technology for wastewater. And he and Lacey stood long and hard and fought to try to have a more affordable project, and were always concerned about the people that could not afford the mega sewer that we ended up getting. And lastly, the seismic testing. Just a reminder, please do read the article. Go to a website called Stop the Diablo Seismic Testing for more details, and try to read that EIR if you can stomach it. They're talking about 260 decibels every 15 seconds as they drag the ocean floor for a 500-square-mile area up from up north in Cambria all the way down to past Oceano. The 260 decibels is the that is the noise that Hiroshima put off. It will kill every living creature and plant on the coastline. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindy. Frank.
I'm going to be paying attention, but I have to ask a question.
Frank Salio. First, I have a question. I'll be talking to Marshall about the wealth, the letter you wrote to the county about regarding the wells. I asked Craig if he would talk to you about having a copy of the letter sent to the Regional Water Board as well as the Coastal Commission. So I don't know if that conversation occurred just yet, because it was at the LOCAC meeting.
Well, that's an item on our agenda, so.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
We'll discuss that when we get the hearing items.
The other thing is that I don't know if you read the opinion in the Tribune on Wednesday regarding the energy audit plan. May not sit well with remodelers, where the county planned to charge $400 for people who take permits out for remodeling or repair over $10,000. They'll have to pay for this energy audit, which they don't have to follow. It's just informational for them. My concern is that I know that most of the people in this town probably do not have earthquake insurance. I remember during the earthquake up in that we had a few years back, and I remember Paso Robles had a friend lives up in that area, and I know some of their homes were damaged, and some of them had earthquake insurance, but I believe some of them had it like a $20,000 deductible. When you're facing with those kind of finances that you're going to have to do repair, we're not talking about if there's something this board can do, especially on the part of repairs, not remodeling part, but the repairs that people would have to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Richard, nobody after Richard, so Richard, you'll be our last public speaker.
Richard. Richard Margetson, just for information purposes, he didn't stay around long enough for us to sing happy birthday, but today was Bob Lloyd's birthday, if he's still watching or listening. Happy birthday, Bob. That's what he thinks he's 21, but I want to talk about the water board today. Backing up a little bit, I'm appreciative of the attendance of directors at the RAC yesterday and some of the comments that came out there. But today was a very important meeting, and for there to have been no representation there, general manager was there for a while, but when it took so long to get to our item that she left at 4:15 or something, whatever time it was. So there's basically nobody in the room. And Mr. Gibson proceeded, and County proceeded, to lie about what's happening in this community. He used the 1 million gallons flowing from septic tanks into the bay line again on the board when he was trying to negate the issue of seawater intrusion, and if we are sucking seawater intrusion in and it ends up having to go into the bay, you know, okay, well, currently you already have nitrate-laden water from the septic tanks going in at 1 million gallons a day. There's no report, there's no evidence, there's nothing that proves that. He also took a shot at Ron Munson and my analysis of the Medalis report, because the issue of where we are at 53 or 55 gallons per capita, blah, blah, blah. He said he had recently received information that, you know, indoor consumption might be a different number, percentage, than it was in the reports, and, you know, if we're at 60 or whatever. And Mr. Gibson got up and says, you know, I'm not really concerned about where we are now. It's where we have to get to. So, you know, baselines don't mean anything anymore. And it continued like that through the entire presentation and rebuttal from the county. And it would have been nice, besides the 15 or so public speakers that came from Los Osos, if this board had been there, to rebut some of that. And I know you're busy in that, but I don't know what you're waiting for. I don't know what you're waiting for. The dewatering plan and the water recycle management plan, we already have talked in the committees. We know the recycled water management plan is obsolete. Your own engineer admitted it to me in a meeting I had at his office. And that was the discussion today. You need to start showing up. If not now, I don't know when. If it's after the project's built.
Thank you, Richard. With that, we'll close public comment. Mike, do you want to give an update on John, or can you give an update? I know that question came up.
Yeah, for those of you that are interested, John is doing very well. He's in what we call phase two now, which happened approximately 10 days early.
Yes. My phone. Oh, my switch goes toward you.
Right, that's what I did. Okay.
It runs in the family. We have that same issue with John's.
Well, now he has my stem cells, so it's going to be complicated. Okay. John is in phase two of the recovery. He entered that phase approximately 10 days in advance of the average, so he's doing very well. He's now outside of the hospital, having to go to the hospital on a daily basis. His recovery is doing very well, and he appreciates everybody's concern and well wishes, and that's what I have to report.
Thank you. I just want to I want to acknowledge both Barbara and Bo's passing and give my sympathies to both Carol and to Lacey. So I know that that's occurred in the last couple of weeks, so... This is the first I heard about Barbara was tonight. I had known about Bo, but so I want to give our sympathies to both Carol and Lacey. Anybody else have any questions, comments?
Okay. Actually, we've got meter reading coming up next week. We read about the 10th of every month, and some of the meters are in around people's, I mean, they've planted growth around the meters, and so it may appear that they're coming in on property when it's really supposed to be the right-of-way. And if somebody's animal isn't restrained, you know, they are just trying to protect the premises. So we'd like to just ask the public to keep that in mind and also you know, remember that it is the owner's responsibility to keep their animals under control. So we'd appreciate any cooperation there. As far as the water production for the month of July was 25.6 million gallons, which represents a decrease in production from last year at this time by about 4.7%. Consumption for the period of June 11th through August 10th was 26 million gallons, which represents an increase of 5.2% compared to last year. And this billing generated revenues of $175,799. And that represents a 3.2% increase when compared to last year. Also in my report, you can see that our runtime hours have been reduced over at the Palisades well. And we are reporting on that for you. The comparative to last year, you can see it's really gone down. We have been working on the 10th Street tank, and it's going smoothly. There was recently a change order that was given. There was no monetary value connected to it. It was just to extend their time because we had to put them on hold when Palisades Well went down. So we wanted to give them a date, you know, a time schedule there. So they should be wrapping up by October 11th at the latest. As far as Third Street well is working, we've got it running 24 hours a day now, or as much as we can, I should say. And the electrical was worked out. We do have a new motor saver in there. And we're working with the Department of Public Health and getting all of our testing. So the crew's been doing a really good job on that. And I'd like to say surplus sales. We've gone ahead and sold. The general manager will be reporting more on that. A couple of our vehicles that we sold. And we put the utility vehicle, was placed on as a surplus on the May agenda. And we're hoping to be able to have that replaced soon, as it's a big workhorse that the crew uses every day. Now, as far as drainage is concerned, we continue managing the basins and the pump stations. And also, the staff is keeping an eye on the latest state permit for the MS4s. And we will be bringing that to the Utilities Advisory Committee, so they can look at the differences. Now we've been reclassified as a non-traditional. All the CSDs have been thrown in that category, so it changes what they expect of us. So anyway, this concludes my report for tonight, and if you have any questions, please feel free to ask.
Any questions of Ms. Faulkner?
Nope.
Very good report. Seeing no questions, we'll move to the Administrative Department report.
Good evening.
Mr. Seitz is going to tag on to the end of this, I believe, with
yes.
His... Okay.
Good evening, President Nohilski. How come it's not on? Did I answer? Was it with you? Okay, good evening. No, not really. Good evening, President Nohilski and board members. Just to tag on to the utility report, I just wanted to report that we were able to get $3,800 in revenue from the two surplus vehicles. The box trailer, we received $800, and the gem, we were asking for $3,000, but it's the best offer, and we did get $3,000, so we're very happy with that. On utility billing, we also did a one-side insert containing the new bimonthly water rates, which go into effect September 1st. And the other side was meter box maintenance, which Margaret already discussed. The district election for 2012, it has technically been canceled because the two incumbents filed, but there were no other candidates. And so therefore, congratulations to President Nohilski and Director Wright. The good thing is we'll be saving the district about 10 to 14S system for the wastewater project, so we're trying to work out some details. I spoke to the crew. They have some issues and concerns, which I will be addressing. And Prop 84 grant on South Bay Well, the South Bay Nitrate Removal Project, we're still anticipating grant funding. I had a call, which they wanted to have some further information, basically the resolution. And the application is still being considered, and I was told Prop 84 funding is more difficult to get at this level at the county, at the health state level. And then we had a meeting with Supervisor Gibson and Pablo O'Green discussing in numerous things the status of the ISJ, the next step in possibly transferring Vista de Oro and Bay Ridge Estates to the county, the district's anticipated feedback on the conservation plan, other drainage projects that the CSD can apply for grant, conversation on the septics used as water basins, and the timeline with the SOL green build, etc. I did attend the meeting today at the Regional Water Quality Board, and it is true, I had a 5 o'clock meeting, so it was my first experience of delay. Everybody was there at 1, but we didn't get heard until about 3 o'clock. The day before, I went to RAC, and they talked about Prop 84 Phase 1 Plan B, which the RAC had agreed to give us about $460,000, $470,000 to do the project. And Public Works had readjusted the grant funding, and so it ended up that we were received zero. But based on the application, the grant application and the credits, that's what deemed it to be fully funded by them. However, that recommendation, the revised recommendation of the county's recommendation on the grant division, will go to the wastewater project, which I'm pleased to see because that's less on our prohibition zone. And then it'll also go to Shannon and Paso Robles for the city. So, and then I also had a conservation program presented at EcoSlow, and that was very interesting. I have a couple of announcements. There is a cleanup week, September 10th through 14th, and if I actually requested that Rico Diaz not attend, because like Bob, it's his birthday today and his wife had plans, but we have the flyer on. You can make arrangement for bulky items that are not by calling them, and you can call them at 543-0875. 543-0875. Items like appliances, stoves, TVs, are considered bulky items, and so they will not be picked up unless you call them at 543-0875. Okay, and then I have one last thing I think I need to mention is at 4 o'clock today, I received an email, and it's from the CSDA, which is the California Special Districts Association. It's a statewide association for special districts, and with a numerous amount of help in wordsmithing from Ann, we wrote a letter recommending that the 2002 CSDA Award nominations for the President of the Year go to Marshall Hilsky. And at 4:02, it was decided that they were happy to inform that you were selected. So congratulations.
Okay, that's a shock.
It is a shock. And
I didn't know we could keep secrets that well.
You don't know me.
I'm speechless, but let me get back on. The first time, yeah. Let me get back on task here, though. We did ask John to prepare a little update on ISJ. Yes. We have had updates on the status of the basin management plan that Rob Miller has given. And we did get thrown a little off that schedule because of the county's recycling agreement. So hopefully we're going to be back moving forward and making progress towards the release of the basin management plan in the short term here. But I asked Mike, to give an overview just because we refer to ISJ all the time, but I don't think anybody really knows what the ISJ is. So it's a litigation we entered into 4 or 5 years ago. So I thought it would be an appropriate time today to Mike, just to give an overview of what the ISJ actually is. So that's the purpose of this.
Right, but as Marshall, as I told you before the meeting, and as I told the general manager, if you take a look at the agenda, I'm not agendized. So I really can't discuss it tonight. I'm happy to be at the next meeting, and I'll go through it in any sort of detail that you are, in my mind, 85% done with the tasks. And there was a hiccup in regards to the recycle agreement that the county made with the school district, but apparently we are able to move past that, and Golden State's able to move past that now, and we should be able to hopefully get this out in the near term. But again, at the next meeting, I'll go through in some detail regarding the milestones that have been reached.
Thank you. I'm still in shock about the previous item. I'm sorry. Thank you with the update. We have the LOCAC report next. And I think over there. Yeah, either way, whichever you'd like. I think Nathaniel, correct?
Nathaniel Blair with the LOCAC.
You've been on LOCAC for, what, 5-6 months now?
About, yes.
Okay.
We heard an update on the county parks plan for the entry kiosk and entry fees from Montana D'Oro from Curtis Black, Deputy Director, County Parks. They are going ahead with plans for the kiosk for charging entry fees, much to our dismay. Kate Ballantyne, County Environmental Resources Specialist, presented the proposed backup generator sites. We passed the motion to recommend approval of locating the generator site at Site 3, and that was 3-1 and 2 abstaining. CSD Ion Exchange Unit, recommendation for approval passed unanimously. The Sea Pines project to relocate and expand their horse stable facilities sparked a great deal of discussion regarding waste cleanup and noise issues for residents close to the proposed new location. Sea Pines wanted to expand the stabling to 20 stalls. The stable is currently and will continue to be made available to Sea Pines guests who will bring their horses with them when visiting Los Osos. LOCAC requested that the trailhead from the stable to the trails from the golf course and not through the streets. LOCAC members expressed a desire to support Sea Pines and their contributions to our community, and several of us were sympathetic to residents' concerns. Our vote captured our conflict. The motion to recommend approval of the project failed. 2-4, 4 against, 1 abstaining. LOCAC offered to work with Sea Pines to find a way to have the stables in a location that residents will be comfortable with.
Thank you. Any board members have questions? Nope. Thank you, and I appreciate your service on LOCAC. With that, then, we'll go to standing committee reports. First committee report is the Utility Advisory Committee. That would be Leonard.
Okay.
August 15, 2012.
August 15, 2012. The Utilities Advisory Committee did meet. The first item that worth mentioning here is we had an update to our water conservation efforts, and we hashed around some more slogans for signs and talked about getting some local vendors, getting quotes from various local vendors. We have one quote so far, but the discussion also revolved around possible sites to put these banners that we're getting. So we're always open for suggestions, but we have some good suggestions to start with. So these would be non-permanent banners to to promote conservation. The major item that we talked about had to do with the water conservation implementation plan, and we had a very good conversation, and several items that are listed in the minutes there were brought out, and this is the action was for myself and committee member Ron Munns and general manager to draft a letter, which is has been done, and we will be discussing on agenda item 6B, I believe it is. General manager Moore requested that the MS4 permit be placed on an upcoming UAC agenda. I think earlier. Other meetings, other things that we discussed, our committee member Floyd also recommended adding stormwater to something that we talked about. So I wanted to bring that up because we will need to get board direction whether we can add that or not. And that's all I have to.
Thank you. Any questions of Leonard? Emergency Services Committee didn't meet, so I'm off the hook on that one. So
depreciation table for the district based on governmental depreciation tables, and so we're staff's going to be looking into that. We also we discussed the purchase of the new utility vehicle, and that generated a lot of discussion. And I think what we're recommending is that instead of us voting through tonight, is that we'd like to have the board president establish an ad hoc committee of two members of FAC and one member of UAC to do some more research on trucks. And so that's our recommendation on that. and pull that item from the tonight's agenda. We also discussed the purchase of a drainage pump over at 8th and El Moro. It's in the utility yard. And we're also recommending this go back to UAC. There's some questions about its usage, the need for the replacement, the age, things like that. So we'd like that to be pulled, taken back through the UAC, and then back to the FAC. Okay, and then as far as general action items, that's pretty much the all we have for
that
action
was
items.
The Thank truck. You.
Oh, I'm sorry. You done, Mike?
I am done.
Okay. I need some clarification, and probably from both you and from Mr. Seitz. Can E stay on the consent agenda as adjusted? Because their committee recommended approval as adjusted. So we can leave that on there. And then item number H, I believe you want to have polled, correct? Mm-hmm. Can we go ahead and name an ad hoc committee tonight, or do I have to agendize that as an agenda item?
You can pull it and do it.
Okay. Well, I have no problem with polling and continuing it. It seems like that's a recommendation.
Yeah, what I was saying is that you can pull the agenda item off of the consent and have a discussion.
No, I was just talking about pulling it and continuing it.
Okay. Then the answer is no, you couldn't appoint the ad hoc committee tonight, but you could at the next meeting.
So
you could appoint the ad hoc committee if you pull the agenda.
No, I understand that, but I cannot pull and continue. I have to have a public hearing, even though it's on the consent agenda. You follow where I'm coming from?
If you right. If you pull it, then it's open for discussion of the board and public comment.
Okay.
During that process, you could...
No, I understand that. I just want to know if I can continue it without discussion, but I can't. Okay, yeah. Do you have another item after that, Mike, that I'm sorry I was cut off?
No, the other was the purchase of the drainage pump.
Well, that's a regular hearing item anyway,
right.
So that will
okay.
be there. Okay. So, anybody have any other questions?
Is it our understanding that we can keep this on the agenda? He can appoint the ad hoc committee on the agenda, but we can then...
Continue
vote.
The item right now.
Right. Okay.
Yes. Okay, I just wanted to get that clarified before we moved on. So then we'll move to committee report, or pardon me, to other reports. I have a bunch of other reports. Leonard, do you want to report on the RAC first?
Sure. Highlights on the RAC here. The RAC was held yesterday afternoon. The first discussion had to do with the IRWM discussion. General Manager Morrow talked about that a little bit, and also, I got out of it. NAPOMO gave an update of their plan to continue pursuing IRWM grant funding. Radienzo gave a presentation on the conservation of the implementation plan. The purveyors were allowed to comment. Unfortunately, we could not comment directly on the content of our letter since it had not been approved by the board yet. But President Ohilski did comment on our concerns on cost equity and our proposal for a community facilities district. Questions were allowed and several good questions were asked. One question proposed by Golden State Water was, will you spend the $5 million once the goal of 50 gallons per day per person was met? And I interpreted the lack of an answer as no. I had asked a question about compensation for those in our community who have already been retrofitted, and John and Ray both indicated that is being considered possibly in terms of credits for additional indoor water saving measures such as on-demand water heaters and the like. And at that time, public comment was then taken on the item, and Director Vogel gave some further comment on that.
Yeah, I think both. Yep, we're trying to get everything. I think we've addressed most of them, but we're trying to. Okay.
I'm still taken aback to be president of the year for the special districts in the state. I'm just shocked. I had a busy few weeks here, as everybody or a lot of you know. I did attend the RAC, and Mr. Wynn gave us an opportunity to discuss at the beginning. I mean, I basically said that I couldn't. We were going to consider a letter tonight and forward it on to the county, separate from the discussion at the RAC, which is on our agenda for tonight. Also, I'm on the Morro Bay National Estuary Executive Committee. We did, at our last meeting, approve the estuary strategic plan for the next, I believe it's 10-year period of time, or five, I'm not quite sure. That was a unanimous vote. Also, apparently because I can, I was also unanimously elected the chair of the Executive Committee for the National Estuary Program at the last meeting, so I am now the chair of the National Estuary Program Executive Committee. The two things in the last 2 days that I did attend, though, and I think these are both important to our community and especially to the services we provide. Susan and I both attended the Slow Green Build presentation yesterday afternoon at Slow Green Build, and it was given by Jamie Hendrickson, who's the water conservation manager for Atascadero Mutual Water Company. She gave a really great presentation, I have to say that. It had a lot of good things that, and we're getting a copy of her PowerPoint for our utility advisory committee, but it had a lot of good points on things that they did as far as advertising measures and getting the information out to the public. And I thought that was really helpful. Susan was there, so we are getting a copy of that PowerPoint. And she did compliment Margaret during her presentation, so you got a compliment for your confirmation or your conservation measures. At the same meeting, interestingly enough, one of the board members for Slow Green Build is Jessica Seeley. And this just dovetails in with what Leon said. Jessica, for those of you who remember, Jessica was the person that came and gave the gray water presentation to this board in this room. And Leon brought that up earlier today. They've been contracted, I think, as most people know, to do the gray water and repurposing for the septic tank abandonment in the Prohibition Zone. They finished their first phase, and then in talking to Jessica, with Jessica and Susan, we're going to get together with them and try to coordinate actually informational programs for getting the information out about decommissioning and repurposing the septic tanks to the community. So the opportunity to meet with Jessica I thought was really helpful, and to get an update of where they stand on the repurposing that they're charged to do as part of the wastewater project. So they hope to have that plan done in its entirety by the beginning of, she gave me spring of next year, so hopefully we'll have that done. And then that will give us an opportunity to work with members of the community until they're required to do the hookup as far as how they can repurpose their septic tanks for gray water or stormwater containment. So I thought that was just a good thing that we happened to run into her. And today, unfortunately, I could not go to regional water quality because I mentioned I am on the NEP Executive Committee. We had our our water runoff collection facility at the beef unit at Cal Poly. We provided funds for a demonstration unit to do repurposing of water out there for water that came out on the roofs. That water is then being held in tanks and being repurposed to feed the cattle and to keep the stream flow going. So Congresswoman Capps was there, representatives of NOAA, et cetera, were there. But it's a really, really good example of putting into implementation this repurposing of how we could repurpose our septic tanks as far as using it for rainwater collection. They have 24,000-gallon tanks, which conveniently enough they're going to use to drink 200 head of cattle. So they're going to, instead of having to pump it out of the groundwater and out of the stream bed, they're going to be using that water to replenish the drinking for the Cal Poly beef unit. It's not open to the public because it's got back on Cal Poly's on the beef unit itself, but we're trying to work now to get some tours arranged for select people so we can take guided tours out there so people can see what this Wayne Water containment facility looks like and how maybe it could be applied on a smaller scale. So
That's where I was today. And yes, I do have a real job, I think. I'm not sure, but... So that brings us, I think, to the end. Anybody else have any other reports?
I just wanted to make a couple of comments. Since our last meeting, we did general manager sent out two letters. One had to...
No area that covers the entire groundwater basin. So we have had some informal discussions with the county regarding the formation of community facilities district, which we're hopeful would be basin-wide, and then we could address our seawater intrusion problems on the entire basin, including Sunset Terrace, Golden State, Los Osos CSD, and private wells. So that's just in its formative stages right now. What I'm looking at doing is this will not be a committee of the CSD, but it's going to be a working group that I'm trying to put together. There's going to be representatives from Golden State Water. There's going to be representatives from Sunset Terrace. There's going to be representatives from the Los Osos community, myself, which will represent the CSD, and then hopefully a representative or two from the county. So this is not going to be done as part of the ISJ. It's going to be done in an open process. It's not part of litigation, but our goal is to get this on the ballot in the 2013 election process. We had originally hoped, against hope, that we could do this in this November, but that was a pipe dream if there ever was one. Craig and I actually met with Paavo and Bruce Gibson, and we saw right away that that wasn't going anywhere. The time frames were just too constrained because of the legal work that has to be done, et cetera. So we hope that over the period of time, we'll either be looking at having it at the June election in 2013 or the general election, or pardon me, June election in 2014 or the general election in 2014. If we can get it done a little bit quicker, we may go for a special election in 2013. But I just wanted to put it out there because you will be hearing more about this. It's not a formal committee. It's a working group. We're going to recognize and ask for input for all the members of the community that we can, people that are not served by our district right now, including agricultural entities, because we do want to make it basin-wide, because that really, in our mind, is the best way to address the seawater intrusion problem. And I want to thank Craig for basically spearheading this in the very beginning, because without him rattling the chains and rattling the tables, I don't think where we would be where we are now. But that's going to be something. We're kind of going to be on hold over the holidays here, because people have told me they can't have time to dedicate till after the first of the year. So after the first of the year, we'll be getting information out about workshops and meetings that we'll have to get the community involved, because we have to get community buy-in to this thing or it will never be successful. So anyways, that's just an update on what we're doing, because I know I've mentioned it in segments at various functions, but I've never given the whole big picture before. So that's pretty much it. So as we get towards the first of the year, we'll get information out and people will be able to come and attend all of our meetings and workshops to help us refine it and, first of all, see if this is a viable option, and then second of all, how we do actually structure it if it is a viable option. Yeah. Okay, with that then, do you have something to add, Mike? No? Okay, with that then, we'll go to the consent calendar items. I've already got item H polled, I guess. Does anybody want to pull another item? And my understanding is we can leave E on, but with the understanding that's as adjusted, correct?
Yeah. There's two amendments, and they're in the back of the room. 5E on inventory, we're adding the vacuum trailer, thanks to the FAC member Keith Swanson. And 5G surplus, we're adding three Sprint phones that do not work because of the decommissioned tower. And it's amended on the resolution.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, then we're going to pull H and keep E and G on the consent calendar as adjusted, correct? Anybody want to pull anything else? Okay. With that, then, we'll go to public comment on the administrative reports, committee reports, other reports, or consent calendar items.
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker. First comment on the committee that Marshall's talking about. I hope you sort of agendize a discussion and let's put it to bed right away if it has no merit. Don't waste anybody's time. The other thing, in the Utility Advisory Committee meeting minutes, there is some discussion about the several members, and I think a member of the public said it might be time for us to look at the Wallace contract. Marshall's representation on the NEP. First of all, Marshall, you were elected to serve this board, and I would have hoped you'd been at the regional board rather than ribbon cutting for 200 cows. I'd like to know where the NEP is with their CCMP, and where are they on the seismic testing? Again, I ask your board to consider seismic testing an issue for this community. With regard to that the Los Osos CSD doesn't serve water to that neighborhood, so they'll have to get their water from Golden State. While we're in the discussion of conveying properties, I'd like to know when the Lupin property is coming back to the CSD. And since we have this, they need that property, they need it quick. Again, we have an opportunity to hold a little bit hostage Vista and Bay Ridge. Vista and Bay Ridge are an anchor, and they're costing the entire community, and they only serve a certain portion of it. So the county needs to take those wastewater systems, and here is a hook to make them take them. My time is up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Frank Cilio. The first question is, Marshall, I'd like to see if the county council or our CSD council could provide information. I'm still never understanding why the county was allowed, why the litigators allowed the county to get involved in the ISJ. And so if you give some history about that. The other thing is, on the flyer that was presented on the cleanup week, when I read it, the cleanup week, it talks about the customers of Morro Bay garbage in the city of Morro Bay. Would you take a look at that, please? And does that mean that it's Morro Bay's, or is it this a typo that they put Morro Bay in there instead of Los Osos? The other thing is that when you have, hopefully you'll have a representation next regional water board that concerns Los Osos. If it's agendized. And also, would you also see this board allow that particular individual to speak on behalf of the board to correct any information that the county provides to the Regional Water Board that is erroneous to what you know the data is correct? Certain data is a certain way, but the county's presented it another way. So hopefully you will speak, that person has the authority to speak to correct that information, so it doesn't just sit there with the Regional Water Board. They think this is the correct information, and since you guys aren't speaking up about it. The other thing is that the kiosk that's going to be eventually going through the permitting process, are you going to agendize some time to see if you're going to be any involvement with the process to give a stance on the kiosk and the charges for entering the park? The presentation at LOCAC is that the county basically has approved the process and the charge thing on their contract. And so now the kiosk has to go through the regular process, which permitting process through the county as well as through the Coastal Commission. I hope you intervene when it hits the Coastal Commission just so that this community may still have some kind of free access to coastal land that they already have access to and that has been litigated through some that first park, first entrance to the park where they put the electrical or the communication lines, and PG&E had to dedicate, I believe, access to the public. So if there's some way that you are going to get involved, I'd like to know. So this is something that's going to come down the road, and just to start thinking about it. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson.
First of all, dealing with this district that you're looking at forming, I'm a little confused now after hearing what you said yesterday at the RAC. You said that you'd already appointed or formed a five-person committee, and I know one of the members, and I've heard the other names. And you stated here that this will be outside of the CSD, but you'll be the representative from the CSD. Doesn't that take an appointment from the board like you do when you do your committee assignments, and who's going to be the representative to, you know, the outside groups? I think that has to happen. And, you know, I think Julie may be right as far as before you put a lot of effort into this, maybe get a feeling for where this may go, or put it out there as to what type of cost we're talking about per individual property owner, because I think, personally, when I heard about it, I think the timing's terrible. And we're talking about the streets being dug up, people anticipating having to do their lateral connections, which they have no idea at this point what they're going to cost. Each one's going to be different. That's what we're looking for from you, from board members, to ask the follow-up question. Because knowing the conditions of the wastewater project, $5 million is in the coastal development permit condition. They have to set aside $5 million. They're using the excuse why they have to do the retrofits at different costs in the first year and the second through the fourth year because of that one line in the coastal permit that says there will be incentives offered in the first year. They're using every word in that condition, and for silence does not mean that they don't have to spend that $5 million. Follow-up question, and then another follow-up question. You're the elected officials. They will answer you. They won't answer us.
Thank
we
you,
need
Richard.
That follow-up.
Hi, Gwen.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor, and I'm a resident of Los Osos in the Prohibition Zone. I, too, was very much surprised that there wasn't someone in that room that was a representative of the CSD that spoke up and asked about that $5 million. That having been said, I have to say this, that with the representative, Mr. Acosta, being here in the community center, that there be some discussion as to the Bay Ridge and Vista de Bay Ridge Estates and Vista de Oro recycling area, as to why the county has not accepted that since they want everything else. Why not use that, as was said previously, as a hook to get the county to start discussing taking that over? It is costing this CSD and every member of this community, not just the Prohibition Zone, but everybody in this community, money. And it should be not on the backs of the public. It should be turned over to the county. They want it. They need it. Then get rid of it to the county, not for us to continue to have to pay for. The other thing is the reduction of funding for the Los Osos CSD 8th Street Upper Aquifer Well. This is a report that was put out by the RAC. The County Public Works Director met with the Los Osos CSD President and General Manager and discussed the adjustment. The adjustment is we're not going to get any money from the earworm money this time around. It says that they were proposing to give us, meaning the CSD, the sum of $467,500. The recommendation is zero. Yes, there are other rounds that are going to be coming up, but no one representing the CSD said, we would like to be included in this third round. Why? We need that money. We need the 8th Street well. We need the recycling of that water. why wasn't there something said by one of those sitting in that room? You don't go there just to get away from the work, because it's work just to keep your ears open and address what is on the agendas that concern this community. And that goes for every member who was not there at the Water Board today. Not one representative of the CSD was at the Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting today. Not one.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. I just had a couple of comments, and just to clarify things, our representative at the RAC is Leonard. Leonard's the only one that's qualified to ask questions. They do not, I mean, he's the representative. Mm-hmm. Leonard was there. The question was asked clearly by Golden State Water twice as to whether the county was going to spend the entire $5 million. And I think that David was there, Leonard was there, and I was there, and we all saw the same thing, which was the answer was ambiguous at best. I don't know that the question could have been asked again and gotten a better answer to, because it was asked directly twice by Pat from Golden State. Leonard, do you want to comment?
Well, I just want to say, yeah, I didn't use the word assume. It was clear. Perhaps I didn't state it as clearly, but the answer was no. They felt like they don't have an obligation to spend the $5 million. It sounded very clear to me. They get to...
That's
how I interpreted. I didn't think it needed a follow-up question.
Yeah, I just think that was crystal clear. I don't want to say the brunt, but almost all of the cost of the seawater intrusion. So you want to talk just a little bit about this, Craig?
I want to say one of the soapboxes that I brought up to the board is that, again, the cost of seawater intrusion, any cost right now, it's getting folded into the prohibition zone, which is not proper by my thoughts, and, you know, because the basin wide should share in these costs. And fix to this is to create a new district, because that's how our government works, and to include the whole basin. And why would the whole basin not want to participate in, you know, stopping seawater intrusion? But as we have it right now, there's not a mechanism to involve the whole basin. The only mechanism that is out there is it gets folded into the prohibition zone. And that's just not proper. And I have a strong feeling that the people of Los Osos have the integrity that they'd say, yes, this is our problem, and we're all going to share into it. So that's the position that I'm coming from, and I feel it's a worthy position to follow, because, again, the people of Los Osos, I honestly believe, they say, yeah, we're all in this together. And so the mechanism that we have by government regulations is that a all-encompassing district be established to share those costs.
And just one quick follow-up. The reason this is not a CSD issue is because this is not going to be a district of the CSD. It's a totally independent district. And I was advised by legal counsel that we have to set it up, and it has to have members by totally independent of the CSD, because we're not, like right now we have fire district, drainage district, lighting district. This will not be a district of the CSD. It will be a totally independent district just to serve the groundwater basin on the groundwater basis. So it's a totally independent district. And I did say that it wasn't going to be a committee of the CSD until I was straightened out on how we would operate, that it will operate as a separate district, not as a part of the CSD. And it may be totally infeasible. Nobody doubts that. But the question is, and Craig brings this to the forefront, the question is, do we need to address this on a basin-wide basis, or are we going to continue to have this carried by the back of the people in the prohibition zone? And maybe that's the way it ends up being, but that's not what we want to do. We want to see if there is an option.
Yeah, that's you know, it's just part of the process. So let's
yes,
investigate it now. Seawater intrusion is not going to stop and wait for us while the sewer gets built. and then,
why are
you know, wait until 2016 or 2017 or 2018, and then we'll have comments thrown at us, why didn't we start this earlier? So we are.
Okay, and this is not an item on our agenda, so we should not be discussing it. I was just pointed out to me, but we will get out in the public sometime in the next few
just
months.
Just addressing the comments from the public.
Okay, we will get out in the next few months. It's not something that's going to happen tomorrow, but we will make sure that we get big or broad-based community participation at our initial meeting so we can get input. And it may be that we drop the whole question after the first meeting. We just don't know. But Craig is the father of this, so anyways, we'll stop discussing that. Do we have any other comments on the consent calendar?
I do.
Yes, Mike.
Clarification point on the Vista and Bay Ridge. We do have enough money this year, this fiscal year. They've cut back pumping from 4 times a year to 2x, but this is the year.
All right. The Financial Advisory Committee and the Utility Advisory Committee have both discussed the necessity of trying to get that transfer done sooner and later, so it's something that is in the pipeline. Correct.
I don't think we've discussed it.
President Ohilski?
They have.
Yes, General Manager. I'd like to get a motion and move on here.
Okay, just really quick.
I got way off task on the CFD.
This flyer, the cleanup flyer, we call it Extra Pickup Week. It's correct on Channel 20 and the website. It is September 10th through 14th. Riglio Diaz came in, and we were asking what kind of large items. So we took this because it showed televisions, water heaters, couches, washers, dryers, small appliances, chairs, box springs, mattress, refrigerators, overstuffed chairs, passenger cars, and a maximum of 4 tires. This is a project of Mission County disposal for the residential customers of Los Osos. So I just wanted to clear that for Frank Acilio.
Okay, thank you. So with that, then, can I have a motion to accept the administrative and committee reports and the consent calendar with the exception of item 5H?
Including the amendment.
As amended,
correct. Thank you.
I'll also move.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, can we have a motion?
And then you can take it from there. We're asking for this to purchase and install a 6-inch submersible drainage pump at 8th Street in El Moro. There's a 2-pump drainage system on the property. It's not on the property. That was one thing. It's across the street from our property. The pump 2 was replaced in 2010 with a 6-inch Myers pump. Pump 1 now needs to be replaced before the rainy season. We obtained 3 quotes. We actually got it about $400 less than what we purchased in 2010. However, 2010 had some electrical work done as well. We may be able to get it less than $2,600 for materials and time if we use actual costs. There's $170,799 at the end of the fiscal year 2011-12 in reserves for pumps. So what the staff was asking for was utilize the $14,300 from the reserves, keep the $10,000 because we're going to need to do something at Bay Ridge and their drainage basin, and we may have other incidents before the end of the year. The problem was when I drew the map out, I didn't draw the coordinates, and so I was discussing the filtration system in the behind the utility yard, when it's actually across the street on the southwest corner of El Moro and 8th, and that is a big drainage station. There were some questions as to why the flood is in hand when we get into rainy season. Houses can see 2 feet of water. Pump 1 is off. It's inoperable. When you turn it on, you can hear the bearings and rattling, and it's not pumping any water. So the discharge is into the bay, which was another question, and the manufacturer's life is 7 to 10 years. This one was purchased in 2002. That's 10 years old. Now, because we didn't have that information for the FAC, they were disabled because of the information was not in the staff report, and we didn't have anybody that had the background knowledge. And the concordance were wrong, so we were talking two different things, and they wanted to recommend to the board to send it to the UAC. So that's, I believe, everything in a nutshell. And so I'm going to leave it up to the board, and I'm available for any questions.
Before we go to questions or comments, would you like to add the fact comments on this, or do you think what you've said already is...
Well, I think what General Manager Morrow mentioned is true. There was confusion as to where this pump was, because it was confusing because people knew about the pump across the street, and we just didn't have information to make a decision or a recommendation. So we felt that with the timing, we might still, because the rainy season's not here yet, push it back a month, let UAC fully discuss it, bring it back. I think we have time. That's just our thought.
Do we have any questions of staff then? Okay.
Just a comment. It is a four-week order process plus then the installation. So it was probably 6 weeks.
We can discuss that when we discuss the item. But public comment on 6A, please.
Richard Margetson. Mike's right. Mike's right. That was good. I didn't know.
I've never heard that before.
The reason the recommendation was made is there was no one in the room that could explain what this request was for. So members of the committee, before making a recommendation to you, wanted to know if it was the one behind the building or the one across the street. And, you know, we remember what happened with the one across the street before and how that whole process. So that's why. So if it's been clarified, I'm pretty sure the committee probably, you know, would approve it next time, you know, with no problem, if that clarification was there at the meeting. That's why it really came about.
Good, thank you.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. But I did have a question. You said refer it back to utility advisory. You meant refer it back to facility or financial advisory.
Well, go to utilities and back to us.
Well, can we do both in one cycle? That's my question.
Well, utilities is next week.
Ours is next week.
I guess I'm presuming we would not approve it tonight, but I just wanted to know if that was a feasible thing to send it to both committees.
It's feasible because we meet next week, and then they meet the day before the next meeting, usually.
Okay. Yeah, but, I mean, so it's feasible.
Yeah.
But the issue out there was that the Financial Advisory Committee, you know, was unclear, thinking that this might, as I interpret from what I hear, this might be, you know, replacing a pump that's only 2 years old, and so they were just unclear. But I think that was clarified tonight as to the need into which one.
Go ahead and push this through. Unless utilities want
something. Well, it's my concerns are more financial because of I didn't get a chance to really go through this budget and how this, I mean, where these monies are coming from and how this impacts our capital improvement. You know, we put a lot of effort into this thing, and I'm not sure if all those numbers jive, you know, for taking from.
Yeah. It's drainage.
So it's drainage? Okay. The 100, what's that? What's the fund 800? That's drainage too? Okay. Then that's my main concern. As long as, I mean, I don't see a pump has to replace. It's 10 years old. Sounds like it's reasonable. I mean, I don't know what we're going to be able to.
I mean, I'm going to defer to you, Mike, because you're going to look at it. So.
Yeah, I think with the clarification and also the caveat that in the future we have more data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I have no problem moving forward.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I was also at that meeting, and I think it needed clarification as to what pump we were talking about, because of the confusion about we already had a pump across the street.
Right.
Why do
we
need this?
We just purchased that one, right?
So I think with that clarification, we could move forward.
Okay. Well, do we have a motion then?
I'll move that we go forward with the purchase of the pump.
Is there a second? Pardon me, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Moved by Director Wright, seconded by Director Vogel. Can we have a roll call, please?
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Director
Vogel? Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Vice President Newhart?
Yes.
Sorry.
I know. Can I just make a comment?
Yes, brief comment.
Brief comment. Do we know what the next pump is most likely to go out? And is there a plan for that?
Yeah,
which ones do?
Which one's the noisiest?
No, but I think we can get information as to which ones are oldest.
It's just a budgeting question. That's my thought.
That's true, too. We'll just have to budget for a crystal ball for next year. Yeah, I'll budget for a crystal ball.
No, you just take care of the lightning.
You're the state president of the year.
All right, let's move on. I'm already past that
now.
Okay, so the next item is 6B, the comments on the San Luis Obispo County Water Conservation Implementation Plan for the Wastewater Project. Just as a brief introduction before I turn it over to staff, we did talk to county staff, and they did indicate that we could get the comments in after today's meeting, so they're not going to be late in any way, shape, or form. I think just as a little bit of background to this letter, my understanding was it was written as the original format came out of the Utility Advisory Committee. Then Leonard and Ron wrote it. Then I rewrote it, and then Rob Miller rewrote it after that. So this is a group effort at this point. But I think the intent of the letter was to reflect the concerns expressed by Utility Advisory Committee. And the original author was the committee itself.
Yes, that's true. And rewrite is a little stronger. I mean, there was a lot of polishing and trying to make it understandable and just adding.
Well, neither Rob nor I rewrote it. We just wordsmithed it a little. How's that?
That's a better way to put it. Yeah, the original points are from the.
Yeah. Okay, Susan.
Okay. Thank you, President Uhlsky and board members. In front of you is, as Vice President Muhart said, the Utility Advisory Committee took comments on the water conservation implementation plan of the county for the wastewater project. And we took all the comments, and the Utility Advisory Committee authorized Ron Munns, Chairperson Muhart, and General Manager Morrow to draft a letter for the board's consideration. We have a revised draft, which is located in the back. I'd also like to acknowledge the committee members and the public for their input, as well as the hard work that was done by the various people on the wordsmithing. And it's an excellent letter, I believe. So I think we're down to looking at, one, if the board wants to send this letter. Two, are they comfortable with the letter the way it is? And
the outcome of my trip to Public Works to see how much was spent drafting the document. And $24,000 went to Madaus. That was spent early on. And then they had set aside 2 hours for me to go in there and look at their file, and handed me $330,000 worth of Wallace invoices for the last 3 or 4 years. So they expected me to go through and figure out who did what work and come up with my own total. So with Rob's help, he did a query on Carrie's time, and he estimates that she put in about $12,000 on her end of drafting the plan. So
how much?
12. That sounds low. But so I'm going to estimate that we're closer to about 50 grand total, just with oversight of other people and the county's time too. As for the letter, that was a thought I had, is that it would be CC'd to the Coastal Commission and to the Regional Board, since they had a lengthy discussion today. And it's good overall. I don't think I can add much to it. You know how disappointed I was with the plan and the inequities. And what I hope is that it's a separate item on your website, something we can see on the front page, that the
CSD board sent this in, you know, most recent work kind of thing. I didn't know about some of these other letters that had gone out, and I think that you're underutilizing the website. You know, show the work that's being done in a timely manner. So, thanks.
Thank you. Richard?
Richard Margetson. The Madawis report spawned the recycle management plan, which spawned the implementation plan. From the beginning, the Madawis report was wrong. Wallace Group, an engineer at Wallace Group, prepared the recycle management plan, and then from that came the implementation plan. And overall, I think the letter's good, but I don't know if you noticed in the implementation plan, there's something missing that was in the other two documents. There's no discussion of what any of those measures in the implementation plan will save as far as how much water. This is what we're going to spend. This is what you're going to get or not get, or we're going to mandate for you, or we're going to attempt to accomplish, but nothing as far as how many acre feet of water we're going to save. And the implementation plan totals $5 million. The recycled management plan, the conservation program in there, which was carried forward, the same 19 measures, on page 53 of that document, the total cost was estimated at $3.3 million, just under $3.3 million. I'm telling you, when they submitted that to the Coastal Commission and the Coastal Commission looked at it, they said, okay, sounds reasonable, well, where's the $5 million? And that's how the surveys got backfilled, because that was the major component that got backfilled, a substantial dollar amount. Surveys in the recycle management plan were going to cost $447,000. In the implementation plan, $1.885. That was the major backfill item. They added some additional money to the washers. This is a basic overall common sense letter, but there's a lot of issues with that plan. You know, I know Ron had a real issue about how do they ever think that 1,650 washing machines are going to be replaced in 5,000 homes at a $150 rebate. What incentive is that? There is one issue I think might need correction. The last paragraph on page 2. In this regard, our review of the plan notes that the 50% administration cost component is very high. Actually, page 53 of that document states at the bottom on the breakdown of the cost for the whole plan that administration administering the rebates as far as sending them out, that component, the administrative column, is 63%.
So, aren't 60 what?
63%. And that's documented on page.
The 63 or?
Well, it's over 50%.
I was going to say, let's.
I can suggest that the plan notes that over 50% of administrative cost delete components of the implementation is very high.
Yeah. Because I just want to say that right now is that on the Utilities Activity Committee, you know, the committee itself and the public comments were very, very good. And myself and I'm sure Director Moodhart, you know, again, just want to thank everybody there at that meeting. And I remember that discussion, and they were over 50%. The 63 kind of sounds right, too.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, when I got the letter in whatever draft form it was, I was really impressed with the content of the letter, so I think that everybody did a good job on it. I would suggest a change myself, okay? And, you know, I don't have a problem, by the way, copying it to Regional Board and State Water Board, to the Coastal Commission, we can talk about that. That was not included on the letter because that's a policy call, and we didn't want it out in the public without the board making that determination. But I was really
kind of concerned yesterday after the RAC meeting about the $5 million. I walked back to my car with Leonard, and he got to hear me complaining all the way back. So, but I'm wondering if on the last page in the conclusionary paragraph, if we add language to that first sentence that says, we look forward to working with Public Works staff and revising and implementing the Water Conservation Implementation Plan. And then I would propose we add language to assure that the entire $5 million is effectively spent in our community. Because after yesterday, I've just really had problems with that. I mean, if you don't want to add that, it's fine because...
Efficiently spent.
Well, I said effectively.
Efficiently is a better word.
Well, okay. I mean, but I would like... This letter was politically, you know, didn't go straight to the $5 million, but their issue came up yesterday directly from Golden State, and I didn't see a direct answer in it. No. I think we need to put that number in the letter.
I agree.
Leonard, I'm going to defer to you because it's your committee that wrote the letter. So.
No, I think we can we've been thinking about it, where to put that, and I think that's a good place to stick that in there. After yesterday, it was... We need to directly address that.
I think we have to put the $5 million number directly in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So based on the public comment or your comment, so we'd add to assure that the entire $5 million is efficiently spent in our community.
Is that the proper word? I'm just trying to think.
I had effectively. You guys, I don't
know. No, I think efficiently is good because you're saying the entire $5 million to begin with.
So well, I said the entire is effective, efficiently spent or effective.
Yeah,
I think you're really going into a fine layer here.
Yeah, no, I think efficiently makes sense. Okay. We want them to spend the money wisely.
Yeah.
So anyway, I would propose that we make that change about the over 50% that was already discussed, and then we add at the end of that first paragraph in the the first sentence in the last paragraph, to assure that the entire $5 million is efficiently spent in our community.
Okay, I have one minor change also, when you're ready.
That's my end
of
me.
In first page, and so I guess it would be the third paragraph, our concern is that once the wastewater project's mandated goal of 50 gallons, what I would suggest is that the data included in the report shows the community-wide indoor consumption is at or below. Rather than 55, I would put that number 60 because there's just I feel comfortable that that number, no matter how you mess around with the data, will be.
Well, how about if we say community-wide indoor water consumption is significantly below the 70 gallons stated in the report?
No.
I want a number.
You want a number?
I think the 55 is a good number.
Yeah, I think it needs to be specific. I think a specific number is going to get their attention. And
who's your committee?
I can explain.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay. Well, defer to Leonard on this, Leonard, because you wrote the letter. So.
Okay, what's the question?
His question is on the third paragraph on the first page, where it says the community-wide indoor water consumption is at or below 55 gallons.
Yeah, I wanted to say below, not at, or I want to say below 60.
We chose 55 because that's what we... That's the best number we know. I mean, that's.
I mean, I'm going to defer to them because they talked about it at length. So, I mean, that's.
The number that we came up with in utilities committee is a reasonable number, that 55.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if you have an unreasonable person looking at this, they might change the data a little bit. But I just me playing with the data, I can't get it to be more than 60. And so if...
Well, I'm just saying at our last report, if we went to 70-30, what's the consumption show? I mean...
What I was trying to say without the microphone is that the population changed from the census of 2010, and so the population's a little less, so therefore... Well, the rate is about 59.
The number we discussed.
You guys discussed it in your committee.
We discussed the number that we've been been using and calculated and verified through the, at the UAC meeting was less than 50 bucks.
Whoa. We are jumping on the county because they're using incorrect data, and if we have more updated data, I'd like to use it. And if we, and if the general manager is saying our more updated data is showing 59, then let's just change the number to 60.
From 2011 to 2012, using the 70-30 split, with the new population of 7325, which was based on the 2010 census, the calculations that we were given based on the that Margaret worked out, it's 59.7. That was last fiscal year.
Yeah, I mean, there's two factors here, okay? And I'll go back to where I started when last meeting, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't want us to get caught up in the numbers. Mm. Because to me, the part that I just added to the last paragraph is the important item.
Right.
The important item is that they efficiently spend the $5 million.
Right.
I don't want to give them out either, right. And that's what you're concerned about.
Yes.
But I also don't want to put a big light on, let's argue about the numbers. Let's argue about the $5 million being spent efficiently. So, my whole goal here.
Well, and also, too, the county's hanging off.
I don't want to take off task. I mean, that's my point.
The county's hanging their hat on the 70.
Right.
And that's, they have, you know, talking about 59 or 60, whatever, they still have to justify their 70.
But the problem is, based on yesterday's meeting, okay, the problem is, once they get to 50, are they going to spend the rest of the money? That's the whole issue in my mind.
Right.
Right.
And we're saying, look, you don't have that far to go to your goal of 50. You need to keep going after you hit 50.
You need to spend the $5 million.
Exactly.
That's the whole point.
Exactly. I had a minor correction. The second full paragraph.
Oh,
sorry.
I could suggest taking out that is at or below 55 is approximately 55.
That works.
Okay, we spent 15 minutes for that.
And
clarification, too. The 55 number is not a CSD number. It's a community number.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's part of the... I mean, part of the problem is that we have the CSD numbers, and Sunset Terrace doesn't, you know, I mean, they're not individual meter, but they know how much water they pump total. I mean, it's...
Right.
Okay.
And then my minor correction was in the second full paragraph on the first page, line 4, just prior to the word entire groundwater basin, the word the should be inserted.
For
that. Where?
For
the entire groundwater basin. It's not for entire groundwater basin.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
So
which paragraph was that?
Second full paragraph, first page, fourth line down, right in the middle of the paragraph.
So at
I
this
mean, right in the middle of the sentence, the line.
So at this time,
projecting future water demands for the entire groundwater basin.
Right.
Yeah.
So at this time, I have four amendments thus far.
Okay.
Paragraph 2, paragraph 3, page 2, last paragraph, and the last paragraph of the entire one.
And then we had, do we want to copy this to, I mean, the original board sent out a comment letter that we all got, so I have no problem with that. The question is, you know, copying the Coastal Commission. The Coastal Commission has already approved the plan, so does it really matter? So, I mean.
Well, I think it does. I think the Coastal Commission needs to see where we're coming from again.
Yeah,
I think the Water Board also needs to see where we're coming
from.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody objects to that, then we can add that on there, too, that we'll copy it to both the Regional Board and the Coastal Commission.
Oh, okay. It's coming full circle. I think this was a misunderstanding, is that Frank's comment at LOCAC was he asked that the letter for the water meters for the ordinance that the supervisors passed in the 1980s about metering new wells,
correct.
He asked that be copied to the Coastal Commission and to RAC. And that's in not this particular letter.
It's not on our agenda.
3, community-wide indoor water consumption is approximately 55 gallons per person per day. Mm-hmm. Page 2, last paragraph. Review over a second line. Review over a plan notes that over 50% of administration cost of the implementation is very high. Last paragraph, third page. We look forward to implementing the water conservation, the conservation implementation plan, to ensure that the entire $5 million is efficiently spent in our community. And then a CC to the Regional Water Quality Board and the Coastal Commission. So it would be approved, the staff's letter as amended.
I think that encompasses everything that we discussed. Okay, David, now you want to make a motion? Okay,
yes, I would like to move that we approve the letter regarding the county's water conservation implementation plan as amended to be submitted to the San Luis County Board of Supervisors, the Coastal Commission, and the RAC.
Big copy to
Regional Water Quality Control.
Yeah,
Regional Water Quality Control.
Excuse me? Oh, copied
to.
Okay, copied to the regional.
Yeah, we'll CC it to Coastal Commission and Regional Board.
Okay.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
RAC.
Not RAC.
End RAC?
No.
We didn't have that on there.
No, the RAC's already done.
RAC's done with what they're doing. Yes, we don't need to do RAC.
And I just want to make one clarification here. Since the board will be adopting this as policy, I will be going to that board meeting of supervisors representing the board's position on this letter as part of our approval here.
Okay.
So
good.
We will have active representation there.
And that Marshall attending. No.
You're going to reimburse me? No, otherwise. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Yeah, one
yes.
Comment. So on the amendment or the change on the second page in the last paragraph, excuse me, we went from a specific to a general. Can the general manager just read back that sentence and see if everybody agrees that it makes sense? It just sounded kind of funny to me. Again, because we went from a specific to a general.
You're talking page one, last paragraph?
No, page two.
Page two.
In this regard, our review of the plan.
Notes that over 50% of administration costs of the implementation is very high.
Well, I see what you're saying. It's kind
of... It's over 50% of the total costs are spent on administration. That's what we're trying to say, but it doesn't sound that way.
How about, in this regard, our review of the plan notes... That in excess of
50%
administration costs.
No, of the project costs are administration costs.
Okay, I got a solution. How's this? In this regard, our review of the plan notes that administration cost of over 50% is very high. How's that?
Okay.
That simplifies it.
Yeah.
Makes it to the point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that good? Does the maker of the motion accept that?
Yes, the maker of the motion will accept
that. The seconder accept that?
He will accept that.
Okay, so now we have another amendment, which will be this last paragraph will read in the second sentence in the last paragraph on page two will read, in this regard, our review of the plan notes that administrative costs of over 50% are very high.
Excuse me, I'd change that to more than 50% rather than over 50%.
In this regard, our review of the plan notes that administrative costs of more than 50% are very high.
Yes.
Do you accept that?
Acceptable.
Like an AP English class.
Yeah, I know. Do you accept that, Mr. Wright?
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion and a second, and as amended. Any further discussion? Seeing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Vogel.
Yes.
Director Wright.
Yes.
Director Baltimore.
Yes.
Vice President Muthard.
Yes.
President Ohilski.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that will bring us to the last item on our agenda, which is now 6.3, which was formerly 5H, or pardon me, 6C, which was formerly 5H. The award of the purchase of a new utility vehicle from specifications stated in the issued request for quotations. My understanding is that we pulled this because the committee would like to have this come back to them, or pardon me, they would like to have an ad hoc committee to review this and then take it back to the Financial Advisory Committee. Is
correct.
That correct?
It has to do with reviewing and other purchase options of trucks.
Okay.
Also, there was a discussion, too, about the status of all the other trucks. Where are they in their life? their conditions, that sort of thing. That's.
Does the committee have a recommendation for who they'd want to appoint into the ad hoc committee?
Yes, we do.
Could you put those on the table?
What's that?
Put them on the table.
I will.
Please.
Okay. Our from FAC is Keith Swanson, Bob Stevenson, and from UAC, Mr. Sneed.
Have those Chuck people? Sneed. Are those people willing to serve on the committee?
I cannot speak to Mr. Sneed. The other two, yes.
So allow this to happen. So it's allowable.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I was...
No, we would appoint... What we would do is I'd appoint an ad hoc committee of those three people with the fixed task that Mike just laid out for to report back in 60 days or whatever time frame is appropriate.
Sooner.
Yeah. Okay, 30 days. So
next
we'd appoint
meeting.
An ad hoc committee with that task of those three people to report back to the next financial advisory committee meeting.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So that's
okay.
Question?
Yeah, because well, I mean, I literally just replaced these last month of our bylaws. So, I mean, we can change it now or change it. It says the board president shall appoint such an ad hoc committees comprised of two or less directors and as many as they deem necessary advisable.
That's ad hoc.
Isn't that what we're doing with this?
This is actually a subcommittee.
You want a subcommittee.
Right.
Oh,
okay. It's not a board committee. Well, it's a subcommittee of the... Yeah, we inadvertently said that.
It sounds like a perfect...
It's a subcommittee of those two committees, basically comprised of those three people.
Correct.
And that's their recommendation, so I see no reason not to go along with it. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that until we had public comment.
Well, public comment, then we'll discuss this.
Okay. Do we have public comment on this item, please?
Before we yes. move to public comment, just to clarify, I think that one of the reasons for this is that we were proposing, or the proposal was for buying a new utility vehicle, and the suggestion was that we could buy a recent used vehicle at a much lower price, and also if we go outside the area to purchase, we could get a much lower price, for example, in the Los Angeles market.
Okay. So, I think we'll take public comment on appointing a subcommittee of those three members to report back to the Financial Advisory Committee at their next meeting and bring this back to the board next meeting, hopefully. Is that where we're going with this recommendation, Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the recommendation would be we would need the report from the subcommittee prior to so that we could create
right.
the agenda report.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because, there's no doubt, the 350 truck is needs replacing. We just want to make sure we're getting the best deal. We have photos of what it looks like. But also, we have no idea about the other vehicles. And we need to do like the fire department has, have a schedule laying out so we know, this truck's going to go in 2 years, whatever.
Well, it's like the Utility Advisory Committee
right.
did. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, but
except
we, don't
for,
know what the, we have no idea yeah. about the vehicles, what condition they're in.
Well, I think this makes sense. If we can go ahead and set this yeah. subcommittee up to do this one task in the short term, but then task that as a task for the Financial Advisor Committee in the long term, that makes total sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, we have public yes. comment on this item.
Margaret had something.
Oh, Margaret?
I just wanted to say, when we did the water rate structure, the water rate increase, we added all the vehicles to part of replacing the part of it, and we did prioritize the So I don't...
Well, I think the only difference, that was done as part of the water rate study, and I think that the Financial Advisory Committee would do it in the context of the finances.
Well, it's also, I think, all the vehicles are essentially depreciated down to zero right now anyway. I think what we need to do is find out from a mechanical and a physical standpoint which ones are the ones most likely to fail. And get an idea and use those as replacements.
Well, like I said, right now, if we refer this one vehicle right. to that subcommittee, and then we can determine a scope for the long-term look. Richard.
Mm-hmm. Richard Martinson. I think some of the concern that night was, and Keith and Bob brought this up, is there wasn't enough clarification as to, what was meant by are starting to cost more to maintain. Is it in the shop every month? Is it in the shop twice a year? Those type of things. And, how many miles could the vehicle be rehabbed to,
those type of issues were discussed. And then the idea of, you know, setting up the same kind of plan that the fire department has, you know, that we kind of know, you know, where the vehicles are in their useful life and that. I think it was a surprise that there were only quotes from, you know, the local vicinity, because David actually got on whatever you got on and
cars.com.
Yeah. You know, and that's true. You know, you go down to Ventura or LA and, you know, you shop, you save huge dollars. And it's not like going out of state, but you know, a trip to
of this particular vehicle in the short term here, because we'll look in the long term towards getting direction to the committee to do, you know, the bigger stuff, and then have them report back to you at the October FAC meeting. The only problem I see is, since the October FAC meeting, you know, is the 2 days before the board meeting, do we want to hold that over till the November meeting to come back to the board?
I don't know if it'll make it that long. I did have some clarification on the questions that the FAC did, but since you're going a different direction, I chose not to elaborate on some of the questions that the subcommittee would be asking. It's going to need a transmission replacement, and the bed of the truck is not in the best condition. So I think it would behoove us to get that on the October. Yeah.
I think October's fine. You can get it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm all in favor of doing it as soon as possible. I just want to make sure that was doable.
No, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. It should be.
Margaret, do you know how many miles a year this truck gets on it? Or,
yeah. You know, they use it every single day, but they don't drive, you know,
right.
Miles.
Right.
But this is the utility. This is what they use. If there's a water break in the middle of the night, they take this thing out. It's got the lights on it. It's got the
tools. Right, right. But the mileage?
27.5.
It's about 27,000 a year on it?
27.5. It's like,
okay.
That's the current miles on the whole car.
You may have rolled over.
No.
No, for 99.
They don't use. The thing is,
I don't need a reason why it gets the mileage. I'm just asking. Yeah. So how old is this car?
1999.
And it has 27,000?
Yeah, about 500.
Yeah, but look at the pictures.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand because, okay.
It's the stop and start that is the
right.
problem.
Well, then I'll, because this just screams that we get a bumper-to-bumper warranty on it, because we, you know, it starts and stops, but the mileage isn't there.
Right, and it is under warranty, and that's, right. you know, one thing that we do.
We can add that to the subcommittee's role or tasks. How's that? Okay, any further discussion?
Well, I think that the Financial Advisory Committee wants to treat purchases like this as if you were buying something for yourself and use the same kind of fiscal responsibility that you would use for your own purchases. And I think it's a good direction for this board.
Any other comments? Seeing none, we have a motion, right? Oh, no, we don't. I'll make the motion then, that we continue this item till next meeting, and that the board ratify my appointment of a subcommittee of Bob, Keith, and Chuck, and that they report back to the Financial Advisory Committee at the October meeting, and this item be agendized for consideration by the board on its October agenda. Can I have a second to that?
I'll second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, can we have a roll call vote, please? Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
Vice President Muthard?
Yes.
Thank you.
With that, then, we'll go to board comments. All the announcements about trash and all that stuff have already been made. Coastal cleanup's the only one left, so somebody can take that one. Any comments? Director Muthard.
I have coastal cleanup on my list here, so it's September 15th is the annual Coast and Creek Cleanup Day. The information is at website creekday.org, and coastal cleanup is at ecoslow.org. and CSD website. And the other announcement I have is on September 9th from 11 to 3 is the Old Goats and Young Kids Family Fun Celebration put on by the Rotary Club. And the event is free. It's at Baywood School. There's singing, dancing, magic show, bounce house, fun for everybody. There will be food available for purchase, a nominal fee, and there's a raffle where you can buy or win a large screen TV, a Kindle, or an iPad, or much more. You do not need to be present to win, and I am selling raffle tickets, so they're $2 a piece, three for five, or seven for ten.
Are you one of the old goats? Is that...
I'm working on it. If I hang around you much longer, yes. So, yes, that's Sunday, September 9th, 11 to 3 at Baywood, and it benefits the Baywood PTA and the other activities that Rotary Club does throughout the year, including the senior dinner and reading group.
Is an asset to this community. And with that... my prayers go out to Lacey Cooper, and Mr. Cooper will be missed because he always conducted himself professionally, and he had his statements were well thought out, and background was there, and so my prayers to her.
Yeah, just in close, I mean, we are reconvening to close session, so board, don't get your hopes up. But just in closing, I would like to say that I think that our committee structure is working really, really well, and the advisory committees and everybody on there that's serving is really just doing a tremendous job to provide perspective on items that we obviously would not have time to do, and they bring a multitude of varied perspectives to it. So I think all of our committees are just doing an awesome job at this point. I mean, I've served on all three, not currently, but I've served on all three of them, and I think that's functioning really, really well at this point. So I'd like to thank everybody for all their efforts. With that, then, we'll go ahead and close this open session and convene back. Oops.
I do want to congratulate Marshall on being one final congratulations for the CDA.
That's right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
We have to underscore CSB that was
president
out of the state.
Of the year, of the state.
Of the state.
It was out of the clear, but I have to say I was totally shocked. Anyways, I appreciate that. But with that, then, we'll go ahead and reconvene into closed session, and then our next meeting is the first Thursday of October.